Blog Talk Radio.
I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father. I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father. I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father. I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father. Delay to break every spirit of resistance, every anti-marriage spirit. Pray for yourself too, so that you can be set free from the spirit of delay, from the spirit of barrenness, from the spirit of hardship and failure and struggle. And then you pray for your spouse. Pray for your spouse in advance that every curse will be broken. They might have a spirit of divorce in their family. They might have a spirit of immorality, fornication, adultery, theft. I mean, who knows? You don't know the family you're dealing with. So you pray in advance so that by the time you get together, you are a powerful team. The Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? So that is for the singles. Now, coming to you married couples, it is important to also cover yourselves in the blood of Jesus every day. You know, we all have different work schedules. And you know, you might not be able to pray together in the morning because it is so busy, but make sure to pray over the children. Make sure to pray over one another, because I am telling you, it is a war out there. I mean, we are hearing all kinds of stories of pastors committing suicide, pastors falling into sin. I mean, people who we've known to be faithful and responsible and mature suddenly just get so overwhelmed, get tired of living righteous, and then they just end up, you know, compromising. And so it is important, don't take your spouse for granted. Don't just say, well, they're strong. Cover them in the blood of Jesus. Pray prophetically over them. Speak the word of the living God. Release the Holy Spirit in them so that they're sensitive, so that they're discerning. You know, pray for the Lord to go ahead of them and to deliver them from every trap of the enemy, to deliver them from every assignment of the enemy, to deliver them from the works of darkness. Beloved, the war is real. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why the Apostle Paul said to put on the whole armor of God. And couples, no matter how busy you are, make sure you pray together. You don't have to pray. I always tell people, Apostle and I, it's not like we pray for hours and hours, but we find time every day to hold hands and just to pray in agreement, because one can chase 1,000. Two can chase 10,000. The Bible says two are better than one, for they have a good return for their labor. The word of God also says if two of you shall touch and agree on anything, it shall be done by my Father in heaven. And so that that united prayer, that corporate prayer between husband and wife is so powerful. It achieves a great result. The word of God also says never go to bed angry. And I tell you, the enemy is using the stronghold of anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness. That, you know, when your heart is full of offense towards your spouse, towards your in-laws, towards your children, when your heart is full of bitterness and unforgiveness towards family members, that is a setup of the enemy. No wonder the word of God admonishes us to walk in love and to forgive 70 times 7. And he says if we don't forgive, he will not forgive. Beloved, unforgiveness is the cause of many sicknesses. We're seeing people in hospital with incurable diseases, with stress and anxiety. And when you talk to them, you'll find there's a root of bitterness. There's a root of unforgiveness. And so I want to urge you, I want to admonish you, let us be doers of the word when it comes to forgiving one another. Let us have that new heart and new spirit, because the enemy is using that to bring a lot of catastrophe and calamities in home. Couples, make sure you talk about everything. Be quick to say, I'm sorry. Be quick to repent. Be open. Why should you be open with somebody else and you cannot be open with your own spouse? Let's not give the enemy a chance. You know, for example, for me who is a woman on the front line and I travel a lot and I'm around men a lot, but I conduct myself with wisdom. You know, whenever I'm in places where there are a lot of men, you know, I make sure I ask about the wife. You know, if somebody, for example, a male pastor calls me, you know, I'll make sure they talk to my husband, because I'm not trying to be best friends with nobody, his husband, and I don't expect vice versa. And so these are all precautions we should take as the believers, as the ministers of God. The Bible says to avoid the appearance of all evil. So spouses, we've got to take care of each other. We've got to be there emotionally for one another. You've heard of emotional affairs, and that's where, for example, at work, you know, you find yourself being complimented by this person, and then, you know, you're just loving all that attention, and then you begin to pour into each other, and both of you are married. You're not pouring into each other back home as husband and wife, but you're pouring into this other person at work. That is very, very dangerous. The Bible says the two shall become one. That means husband and wife, not with somebody else's spouse. So there are a lot of precautions we need to take. I don't believe in husbands having female friends and wives having male friends. You can have it as couples. That's fine. But where you're just getting too close to somebody's wife or to somebody's husband, I mean, we have to be careful. You know, yes, we may be strong, but sometimes to others who look up to us, it's not a good testimony. It's not a good example. And we do not want to give the enemy any opportunity. I tell you, when I look at some of the strong servants of God that have fallen, it's not that they went out there, you know, ready to sin, but just a little carelessness, you know, just not taking certain precautions, you know, thinking that they're stronger than they are, you know, forgetting to pray for one another and love and treasure and cherish one another. So husbands and wives, let us be conscious of the season we are in. Yes, it's a great season. God is moving. God is doing great things. But whenever you see God moving, believe me, the enemy has a counterfeit. The enemy wants to retaliate. The enemy wants to contradict the word of God. The enemy wants to show that God is not working. So as wives and as husbands and as fiancés and just as believers, we need to be spiritually alert. We need to be spiritually discerning. We need to be spiritually sensitive. This is not to say we walk around very tense and looking for demons everywhere. That's not what I'm talking about, because the Bible also tells us that Jesus has come to give us life, and life more abundantly. Being in the kingdom is exciting. We love serving God. We are passionate about serving God. In fact, this is our 24th year in America. We came in 1990. I can't believe it. We're just a young couple, and it's so wonderful. This is what has made our marriage strong. I want to urge you, husbands and wives, serve God together. Get involved in each other's ministry. Do things together. So I'm exhorting you on this, not to bring fear, but just for us to be sensitive, to be aware. You know, people always say, what you don't know won't hurt you, and that is not true. What you don't know will hurt you, you know. And so we just want to be aware of our surroundings. It's good to know. You know, normally I don't like to hear about, you know, certain things that are happening in the body of Christ. Actually, for a long time, I would not entertain that. But then the Lord said, you need to know so that you can pray effectively. You need to know so that you know what to watch out for. You need to know so that you can stand in the gap, you know. And so I'm so glad that the Lord ministered to me that way. It's not gossiping about other ministers. It's not, you know, tearing the body of Christ down, but it's good to know what is happening so that we can avoid the crisis, the calamity, the disaster, the just some of the things that are happening. But on the other side, I thank God that there are marriages out there that are solid, that are strong, that are based on the word of God, that are righteous, that are consecrated to the Lord. So those of you who are listening, maybe you're single and you're saying, is there any hope? Yes, there's hope. Apostle and I have been married for 22 years and still going strong in the name of Jesus. We were with our friends, the Prices, over the Labor Day weekend. They've been married for 28 years, and you know, like us, they love to serve together. They work together. They're a great team. And there's a dear man of God on our prayer line, Pastor Larry Mitchell. He just celebrated 37 years. So there is a remnant that the Lord has preserved. We are part of that remnant who fear God, who want our marriages and families to be based on the word of God. We want to raise our children in the ways of God. And parents, it's so important for our children to see us praying together and also praying for them and praying as a family. It's important for children to see that affection between dad and mom, to see, it's important for them to see us laughing together, playing together, joking, you know, talking. It really does influence them. So let us be an example to our children. Let us be an example to so many in the community who look up to us. Let us be an example in our extended families. In most of our families, you know that there's a lot of trouble. There's a lot of strife. You know, there are a lot of challenges, but I pray that we would be an example. And it's not that we are perfect. You know, every day we are growing. Every day we are learning. Every day we are striving to do better. But I believe that effort and that determination and that willingness is what's going to build those strong, healthy, godly marriages to the glory and honor. So if you've just tuned in, this is Prophetess Mwaka from Dallas, Texas, here on Solutions on Zambia Blog Talk Radio, and just exhorting you, singles, pray in advance for your marriage. Pray in advance for your children. Pray in advance for your in-laws. Pray in advance for your, you know, that spouse, that special somebody, so that by the time you get together, they will not be so much a warfare. And couples, I've exhorted you to love one another, treasure one another, respect one another, be cautious, you know, try to have a mutual friends. Those of us like me who is a minister of the gospel and I travel a lot, and many times I'm in a setting and I'm the only lady, I watch what I wear, I watch what I say, you know. If somebody wants my number, yes, I'll give it to them. But when they call, they're going to talk to my husband also, because I'm not going to have any friends on the side. There are no secret accounts. There are no secret friends. There are no secret projects. Those little secret things are what is causing a lot of turbulence in families. Let us be open to one another. We are on the same side. I know there are marriages that are struggling, and maybe you being open has even brought, you know, like the wrong effect. You know, you're trying to be open to your spouse and instead they use what you're saying against you. I pray that will not be the case. I pray that when our spouses are vulnerable to us and we see their weaknesses and shortcomings, we will not oppress them or torment them or make fun of them or make them feel small, but we will love them, we will support them, we will help them, we will pray with them and stand with them. Remember, we are all a work in progress. And thank God for the scripture that says, he who began a good work in us, he will bring it to completion. So at this time, I'm going to ask Ms. Shiko, I hope I was clear on the radio. This phone has a few challenges, but I haven't seen any signal. Hopefully the lovely listeners have heard me. Miss Shiko, can you hear me? Am I clear?
Yes, we can hear you, but we had technical challenges the first 15 minutes and we were off air. So if you can kindly recap what you talked about concerning the singles, the first 15 minutes, I think we would appreciate to hear
oh,
that.
Oh, no. After my long, nice speech.
Yes.
Oh, okay. For you, my darling Chico, I will recap. And for all you wonderful singles, what I was saying to you, wonderful singles, is the reason I started this series last month. I dealt with three very, very tough cases, and all of them were very godly people. Actually, all of them were ministers. One minister, this young man had gone to the pastor. I want to engage this girl. I love her. You know, he was a worshiper. He was also a preacher. So he engages her in front of the church. You know, the wedding is supposed to take place in December. I mean, it was not even a month. He decides, no, he cannot go through this. It's too fast. I mean, he's the one who chose the date. So he literally canceled after telling her father, after the whole community knows. So that was very devastating. And she was telling me, prophetess, you know, I'm an intercessor, but I pray for everybody else. I pray for the church. I pray for my finances. I forgot to pray for my relationship. Another person, when I was in Zambia, they had come there to get married, and their marriage was taking place after our conference. So after the conference, even now I'm relaxed. The assignment is kind, you know, is over. And so I'm texting. I'm like, sis, how is everything going? And she's like, my fiance is nowhere to be seen. I'm like, what? She says, and he's a pastor. So she came from the States to Zambia to get married. He was coming from another nation. And she had sent thousands of dollars for this wedding. She's calling him. All his phones are disconnected. His friends have not seen or heard from him in 3 months. His family have no idea about the wedding. And she, too, is a very godly woman and intercessor. And I'm like, what? So every day I'm like, has he shown up? Has he heard from him? No. Till 2 days before, I'm like, no, let's meet. And I'm like, you know, tell me. But she says even before she got to Lusaka, I guess a month before, he wasn't like really returning the calls. He was kind of cold and distant, didn't really want to talk about the wedding preparations. And by the time she got to Lusaka, nowhere to be seen. That was the second case. And then the third one is a person I know, precious woman of God, had waited on God, gets married. After 6 months, the man says he cannot handle America and flies back to Africa. And so when I saw this, I said, no, relationships are under attack. Marriages are under attack. Families are under attack. And so singles, I'm giving you the background of why I decided to do this program, because, you know, normally it's kind of light and fun and exciting, and, you know, just we're exhorting you, be romantic, learn to communicate, all those great things. But there is a spiritual component to relationships. Now, these three people who I dealt with are all strong in the Lord. All of them are intercessors, very committed to the work of God, stable. I mean, these are not flaky Christians, but look what happened, and it's amazing. All of them said they prayed for everything else, you know, new job, business, house, car, except the relationship. So when I kept hearing this recurring thing, the Lord began to reveal it to me that they are anti-marriage spirits. There are spirits of delay. There are spirits of, you know, that come against your relationship. You know, because, like, for example, the young man who engaged this young girl in front of the church, he was so in love. In fact, he had pursued her for 2 years, and she kept saying, no, you're not my type. And then she says yes, And if 2 months later, he cannot go through with it. And, you know, now when people are talking to him, he's like, I don't know, I'm confused. I mean, he just doesn't seem to be himself. So to me, that lets me know it is an attack from the pit of hell. So you may be asking, okay, so how do I pray? Let me emphasize again, this program is not to scare you. Yes, the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but remember, we have tools. We have weapons. That's why we are doing this program, to equip you, to help you, to prepare you. So let me start. So singles, so let's start with those of you who have no guy or no girl in sight. How do you pray? You pray in advance for that future boyfriend and that future girlfriend. Break the soul ties, because that is a biggie. Too many people enter relationships with soul ties of their past girlfriends and boyfriends. And so this is why we are seeing it's so hard for there to be that bond. I actually know of a pastor's son who had a huge, beautiful wedding. But even as he was preparing for the wedding, he was still very connected to his girlfriend. And even when he got married, whenever he would, you know, have a disagreement with his wife, he would call the ex-girlfriend. Now, that is a complete no-no. And in fact, he found himself turning more to his ex-girlfriend than his wife. And literally 3 months later, the marriage disintegrated. So that lets me know soul ties need to be dealt with. Singles, I want to encourage you even first. If you're really serious about getting married and you're serious about having a solid relationship, take even a day of fasting and you break the soul ties from your life and the soul ties from your future boyfriend and girlfriend, so that by the time you come together, there's not that much warfare and conflict. Okay, so number one is to break the soul ties. Number two, the big thing is the family curses. You know, the first time when I went to, actually, when Apostle and I first got married, you know, most of you know he was raised in Uganda. So his family at first were in Uganda before they went to Rwanda. But if you know anything about Rwandese people, they've gone through a lot. I mean, these are people who, my God, they have seen genocide with their eyes. So because of that, they tend to be very conservative with their emotions. They tend to hold a lot inside. And you know, I was looking at Apostle's family and the way they relate, and I said, oh wow, this is some heavy stuff. But it helped me to pray. It helped me to break some spirits. You know, because in a marriage, you cannot be conservative. You cannot withhold from your spouse. So I'm saying all this to say that singles, pray in advance for the family. Because remember, when you marry somebody, it's not them. They have a mother and father. They have uncles and aunts, cousins, grandparents. And we don't know what our great-grandparents used to do. Now, for me, on my side, I come from the royal family. My great-grandfather was a king, not a chief, a king. You can Google King Lewanika. He welcomed the first British missionaries that came to our nation. Very distinguished, eloquent man. But guess what? The royal people also get into a lot of witchcraft. So I had to begin to inquire, because I'd look at our family, very educated, very professional, but when it came to marriage, and I'm being real because I want to help somebody, people of God, there were just no good marriages in our families. Degrees, yes. I mean, we have scientists, engineers, I mean, PhD, they are like super smart, because remember, my great-grandfather welcomed the first missionaries who came to our nation, so the schools came to our area. So people from our region tend to be very scholarly and well-schooled. But I noticed, just even as a young girl growing up, I was not even deep in the things of the Spirit, I noticed in the area of marriage, there was a lot of turbulence. Those who were married were very miserable. and then a high rate of divorce. And then a delay in marriage. In fact, for me, it was just the grace of God that I met Apostle when I was 18 and I was married by 24. But you see, because I know the generation I come from and the spirits and curses I'm dealing with, as a young bride, I began pulling down strongholds of divorce, of separation, of immorality. Because remember, those kings had a lot of, I mean, they are kings, so they have wives, they have concubines. And I'm telling you, we think these things don't affect us. They do. We don't know the covenants they made, you know, because they didn't know the Lord. So they basically worshipped a Satan. So singles, you've got to pray in advance for the families you are going to go into. Pull down the strongholds of anger, immorality, adultery, fornication, divorce, separation, strife, anger, hot-tempered. I mean, there are so many things we deal with. Because remember, when the two of you come together, you know, the enemy hates unity. He hates togetherness. He hates partnership and collaboration. So he will do all he can to destroy that union. I was also encouraging you singles to fast, to take a day of fasting, you know, because we fast for jobs, we fast for finances, we fast for immigration, but it's rare that I hear somebody saying, I'm fasting in advance for my future partner. I remember my sister, Nawina, she got married at the age of 30. It was a battle. Oh my goodness, I pray one day she can share her story. It was no joke. That's where I saw that delay in marriage really happening. She actually had to do extensive fasting to come against that delay in marriage. So singles, those are just some tips. And when you pray, pray with power and authority. You know, when you're dealing with generational and ancestral things, remember, these are spirits that have been there for centuries. So you cannot pray those pathetic, weak, begging prayers. No, you've got to know who you are in Christ. You've got to use the blood of Jesus, the word of Jesus, the name of Jesus. You put on the whole armor of God. Because remember, the word of God says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But the word of God also says that greater is he who lives in us than the one who is in the world. And the word of God also says we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. So yes, we have to know what the enemy is doing, but it's not for us to be fearful and to see a demon in everything. No, but you know, a good soldier, you've got to know where your enemy is and the angle they are coming from so that you know how to shoot and destroy them. So we are having this program, as I keep saying, because I know people get really nervous when we get into spiritual warfare. It's for us to be aware and enlightened. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. For those of you who are dating, pray for your boyfriend and your girlfriend. Those of you engaged, pray for them, pray for their mind, pray for their heart, you know, not to be contaminated. Pray for their spirit to remain, you know, when you are hungry and passionate for God, you know, the things of this world, you know, kind of, they take second place. I know this man of God, he was so, I used to get really concerned because the things he would talk about, just very worldly stuff. And I'm thinking, what kind of, you know, yes, I love politics, I love comedy, I love education. I talk about many things, but our passion with Apostle, if you've been around us, it's always crusades and conferences and church. That's the thing we'll talk about the most. We'll talk about other things. But I got really concerned about this man of God. He's always talking about beautiful women. And I even warned his wife. I'm like, I don't know. I said, this man of God, I said, I'm sorry to say this, but his conversation is really, you know, once and twice it's okay. But all the time, and guess what? Today they are divorced. You know, but you see, we have to be, our spirit must be, because when he began just talking about very worldly, carnal things, my spirit was just very troubled. And I tried to warn his wife. And she thought, oh, that's the way he is. And next thing, his prayer life went down. Next thing, he doesn't want to hang out with other ministers. He wants to hang out with his friends in the world. You know, it just took a downturn. So watch your spouse very well, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. When I say watch them, I'm not saying be a policeman. Please don't tell them prophetess told me to watch you very well. When I say watch them, just observe, you know, because we are our brother's keeper. We got to look out for each other. I'm not saying stalk them and check their cell phone and who's calling and break into their Facebook account. Please, that's not what I'm saying. But when I say watch them, now you can imagine if I noticed that this man of God, his conversation has changed, but the wife was so casual about it. So that's what I mean when I say watch that significant other in your life. How did I do, Miss Shiko?
You did great. Now we don't feel left out. Thank you for covering that. Thank you so much. That's really, really good to know, because I think sometimes people that are engaged and ready to get married, I think they focus more on praying for the wedding day than the marriage itself.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are so right, Chico. And you can imagine these three cases I dealt with are all very strong intercessors. I mean, they're not baby Christians. They've been in the kingdom. I've even prayed with one of them. I was blown away by how much word she knows and just the fire. Yet you see how the enemy came in. That's the one who the guy just changed his mind. And now he's saying postponed indefinitely and the love in my heart has gone. I mean, who does that, you know? So I don't know if anybody texts you or we have any messages on Facebook, because we're not going to get calls because of last week. We don't want to give the devil a chance.
I do have a question. Do you think, like, Christians, singles, when it comes to marriage, they are more casual about it than, you know, if someone was jobless or sick in a hospital bed, they pray, and you know, until they get a job or they get out of that hospital bed. But sometimes I feel like when it comes to marriage, it gets to a point people just become casual, or people just settle for anything. Or, you know, it might be the person God wants you to marry, but then you don't put your effort into praying as much as you would put your effort into praying when you are sick. Do you see it that way?
Yes, because you know when you're like, for example, when you're hospitalized, you know, because you want to get out of hospital, so you're kind of forced to pray. And the same thing with a job, especially in America, because of the bills, oh boy, I mean, you'll find people who don't even know how to pray will know how to pray to get a job. But somehow when it comes to relationships, we're a bit relaxed. We're like, well, it'll work out, you know. And I think there was a time we could have gotten away with that, but really this season we are in, really when I look at just what is happening in the body of Christ, we cannot not afford to pray. Now, in our case, we had to pray because, as you know, ours was like a long-distance relationship. We dated for 6 months, then I had to go to London for law school, and Apostle remained in Nairobi, and then later he came to the States. So because we were apart and we knew it was God ordained, and you know, sometimes distance can make you grow apart. We had a lot of opposition because we were from two different nations. People just thought, no, it can't work. So we had to pray, you know. But I've seen many people who are just, oh, it will work out, and then it doesn't. So, but I think now people are a bit spiritually sensitive. I think people have seen, you know, things happen in relationships, like a relationship is going well, suddenly just something comes up. So as I'm talking to people, I'm finding them, they're a bit more alert and a bit more discerning. I hope Nawina can come one of these Tuesdays. Oh, my goodness, if she tells you her story, wow. Ooh, it was a warfare, but thanks be to God for the victory. But it will help a lot of people when she tells you how she prayed and what she had to do. And her, just because, as I said, the family, we come from that royal heritage, it comes with a lot of, they used to, you know, do a lot of witchcraft. So those spirits, they monitor you. You see, and some of these great-grandparents, you know, they would commit, you know, just like Abraham prayed for, you know, his seed. But even in those days, you know, they'll say, let my children's children also follow whoever. And, you know, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So the enemy, because he's a thief, he hears that. And so that curse just begins to follow. So that sometimes you see a believer, they love God, but they're like struggling, they're stagnant, they cannot make progress. And it's really, it's those generational spirits at work.
Awesome. I have a question for you. Now that
yes.
you've been married 22 years, do you still pray fervently like you did when you were first married, or did you tone it down a little bit?
I tone it down. I have to admit, there was a time where I was a bit relaxed. I'm like, oh, I got the guy, I'm all set, and, you know, I would pray, but not like, you know. But now, because we've had quite a few close friends, we've had quite a few close friends who have been severely attacked. One is separated, another one is divorced. That kind of, it put the fear of God in me. The fear of God in terms, not that it can happen to me, but just to say, oh my goodness, you know, where did, what happened? So that's made me to start praying again. You know, as much as we love each other, we trust each other, we love serving God, but the enemy is no respecter of persons. So he will strike the shepherd to scatter the sheep.
So in other words, even if you've been married as many years as possible, you have to just keep on with the prayer life.
Definitely. Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely, yeah, because you see, just because of the influences out there, you see, the person you have, yes, they are wonderful, they are stable, but remember, the Lord's Prayer also says, lead me not into temptation, deliver me from evil. So this person, maybe they could come. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry about that. This person could, it could be their friends, like one of the men of God I was telling you about. Their friends had such a strong influence on him. So he himself was a good man of God, but slowly he just began compromising. He preferred the company of the ungodly. But it happened so gradually. You know, it would be like, oh, I'm just going to that barbecue maybe once every 3 months. But then the next thing, it's like every week, and now they're divorced. You see what I mean?
Yes,
so sometimes, in fact, most times, it's the outside influences. Yeah, so when you're praying for somebody, it's not that you don't trust them, but it's just that the enemy is not a respecter of persons. He will use anything, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's not like a panicking. It's not like when Apostle walks out the door, I'm like, oh my God, he's gonna meet somebody. No, it's not that. Mm-hmm. But just cover him, Lord. Cover him in your precious blood. Let him be spiritually alert. Holy Spirit, commune with him. You know, that kind of prayer. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I have a question. I have to read it out. And
okay.
It says, being a widow, I find it very challenging to move on. I know the Bible says that I can remarry. So she's asking, what advice can you give a widow and the next step in case they consider getting married again?
Wow, that's a very powerful question. Thank you so much, whoever asked. We had a very, very dear friend of ours when we were just we were in Nairobi. She was Kenyan and he was Ghanaian. And oh my God, oh yeah, then we were all, you know, we came to Boston together. So they had moved back to Nairobi. The family went ahead. And unfortunately, the husband came later, but he died in a plane crash. And oh my goodness, this friend of mine was beyond devastated. I mean, she said, I'm not going to marry, because he treated her like a queen. I mean, Francis, oh my goodness. He was just in a class of his own, you know, just very loving, very family. And she just said, I'll never find anybody like him. And, you know, I remember we used to minister to her to say, no, Esther, you know, God has something. She's like, no, no. So for like 7 years, she was single. But she recently wrote to us very happy, saying, you are not going to believe it. I know you're going to laugh at me, but remember me who used to say I'll never marry again. God has brought somebody in my life. They've brought so much joy, so much restoration. So I'm giving that example to the person who asked that question. That you see, it's not you who move on, because of course losing a spouse, I cannot even imagine the devastation, but the Lord will help you, because that's what my friend Esther says. She says it is the Lord who did it, because in her own strength, she never thought she would be able to move on. She never thought she would be able to love again, but she has a wonderful marriage. I think now it's been about 3-4 years. She is so happy. It's a blended family, and they're doing very well. So when that time comes, it's amazing, you know. You know, she said that the journey of healing, it took some time, but now at least, you know, she can talk about her ex, and that's a good thing, actually. Both of them are widowers, so they could really understand each other. They don't feel bad when they talk about, you know, their spouses who went on to be with the Lord. In fact, my friend Esther, every time it's Francis's birthday, I don't know if you've ever seen that written, Francis Nkrumah was his name. She always says, oh, my beloved, you know, the father of my children, my first love. And her current husband doesn't mind. I mean, they have a really an amazing relationship, because that was her first love. But by God's grace, she's healed and moved on and now restored.
Awesome answer. That's the only other question I had tonight.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, I pray that this program has been enlightening and encouraging and has helped somebody. And please just get back to us on the topics you would like us to do, because the whole purpose of doing this program is to help you all, to give you those tools to prepare you. And again, please do not be afraid. It's not for you to look for demons under the flower bed and in the oven and no. That's it. But it's just, we do have to be aware. I don't know if I was on the I don't know if that part was recorded where I said, at first I never wanted to hear, you know, couples having problems, especially ministers. I'm like, oh no, I can't handle that. But the Lord said you have to know, so that you know what to pray for and to be more effective. Because if we don't know, how can you be effective? So knowledge is a power. So do tell your friends about Solutions. We are on every Tuesday. And I think I really like that question that lady answered, and we'll see in the next 2 weeks if we can do, you know, a program on people who've lost spouses and how to receive healing and how to move on, and, you know, the whole issue of remarriage, because it's a very, very, there are many people facing that situation, and here on Solutions we try to be as real and relevant as possible. So the listener who asked that question, this month we are going to be able to have that program where somebody who has been in that situation can effectively minister to you. Well, it is 11 o'clock. This brings us to the end of Solutions. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are on every Tuesday, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Tell your friends about this great program. Like us on Facebook and send us a message. Let us know how this program has helped you. Thank you so much, Ms. Shiko, for always facilitating. God bless you. Have a great night.
Good night. Mm-hmm.